Hope everybody is doing well. I'm excited to be here, I think. I want to take a moment to thank all the other men who preach from time to time. John and Perez and Chris. And I'll forget somebody, but all you guys that get up here and preach are helpful to me. It's always a challenge and nerve-wracking, but I think it does us good, and I'm thankful for you and your encouragement just by being here. I want to be sure and say that. It was some 15 years ago that I came up front and asked you to pray for Shelly and I as we journeyed to try to have Bella and have some procedures done that would help that process. And she recently turned 15, and I wanted to thank you for your prayer for her and the blessing she's been to us. And I want to thank you for your influence on her and on us and what you mean to her and to us. Time goes by so quickly. It's amazing that it's been that long. And some of that has to do with the sermon I'm about to preach, even in the birth of Bella. And the title of my sermon this evening is, Do You Wonder? Do you wonder? And I want to talk about deepening your relationship with God by taking time to be amazed by God and what He has done. Do we wonder about the vast universe He has created and the cosmos? Do we wonder about the miracles that He did in Old Testament times? Do we pause just to be awed at His incredible power, His incredible mercy? And what does that mean? I think it's important that we take time to wonder. And I believe wonder has its place for us on a daily basis as we imagine and contemplate and meditate God. One of my favorite TV shows is about the universe. It's called How Does the Universe Work? And I like it for several reasons. One is because I get awed. I get amazed at what's out there, how big the universe really is. And it helps me think about God. I appreciate it from that standpoint. But it's funny to me because the scientists who are on the program, most are atheists. And they'll be working through the science and figuring out what's on the other side of this black hole or the other side of this nebula or the other side of this special star. They're talking way above my head and what I know. But they're all excited about what they know they're going to see when they get to the other side of it. We got all these probes sent out there and these ships. And so when we get to the other side of this thing, we know what we're going to see. And this has got to be it. And it's got to be it because this is what the information we have tells us. And every single time they get to the other side and they go, uh-oh, we just thought that's what we're going to see. And they see something they didn't expect or know. And then they go to work on trying to figure that out. The sad thing is they're studying God and they don't know it. They're studying God and they don't know it. But it's humorous to me that they miss God. Amongst all the wonder, they're so focused on the law, they're so focused on doctrine, that they miss God. As a secondary point tonight, I want some of us to think about this, especially those of us who've been raised in the church. Sometimes I think we get so focused on doctrine or the law that we too miss God. And that's exactly what the Pharisees did. It's exactly what the Pharisees did. Thank you. Mark? Thank you. Are we good?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. This is the secondary question is sometimes I think we get so focused on doctrine that we miss God. And I want some of us to think about that as a side issue, and I want some of you to contemplate that too as we kind of work through here. It's probably a whole other sermon in and of itself. But the focus is really about wonder and about how incredible God is for us. Isaiah 64, verses 3 through 4. When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down the mountains, shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has I seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him. So what is the appeal of wonder? What is our goal? Our goal this evening really is to help deepen your relationship by God by helping you understand the role of wonder, the role of being amazed, the role of being stunned by God, and to help understand how wonder and doctrine work together and how both are important to help us understand God so that we can be pleasing to him and do the things that he would have us to do, and to encourage you and me to take time to wonder, to gain the benefits in our relationship with God and to help us understand, number one, who we're created to be. Number two, who God really is and what he's capable of and what his promises mean to us as a result of what he has shown us by his wonder. What God has done and can do, and to help us look around about us and wonder at all the things that are, we see on a daily basis that help us with this. The Greek meaning of the word wonder is to evoke emotional astonishment. To something that is performed to powerfully strike the viewer, personally, uniquely, individually. This is something that is personal to each of us. What you may wonder at may be very different than what I may wonder at. But it evokes some emotion because we are so awed or so stunned by what God has done. It astonishes one out of their senses. There are several examples, especially in the Old Testament, of God's wonder, his signs, his power. And these are just a couple I wanted to mention. In Acts 5 and verse 24, the apostles had been imprisoned, right? They were out teaching about Jesus. They were imprisoned. The angel comes and miraculously sets them free. And when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered. They were awed. They were personally and individually struck at what the outcome would be. They paused to wonder. In Acts 10 and verse 17, Peter has the vision of the great sheets that come down that help show him that the gospel is for all, right? Also for the Gentiles, and that forgiveness of sins is for all. And while he was contemplating that dream or that vision, he wondered. One of my favorites is Jesus asleep in the boat. The wind and the storm comes up on the sea. The disciples are scared. He stills the calm and sea. And they said, Who can this be? Who can this be? Just wow. Wow. I am awed. Who can do this? There's many, many, many examples of power and wonder that God has created and for the purpose of helping stun us or awe us about who he is. And in nature, we see these things round about us all the time in photographs and our own personal experiences, just to sit and be amazed at who God is and his power. So why do we wonder? What is the purpose of wonder? Scripture helps us with this. In these verses here, we find that wonder helps bear witness of himself. It was God's signs and wonders that helped prove who he was. Helped as he worked with his people. He told us the things that he could do for us. He worked with the children of Israel. He did signs and wonders to prove who he was, to bear witness of himself. It also bears witness of his word. When we look at God and we wonder and we understand who he is and the things he has done, that this book is truth because he has the power to back up the things he says he can do and the things says he can do and the things that he has done. When we're amazed and we see his wonder, it helps us remember who God is. When you sit and you pause and you think about some of the things that he has done biblically as you read through the word or things you observe yourself, it helps us remember and put things in perspective of what God's power really is. And even consider the fear that we talked about this morning in the sermon too. Just the incredible qualities and attributes of God. As a result of that, it causes interest. Without wonder, it's harder to engage the mind. Right? It causes interest. We see that, holy smokes, did you see that? You want to go tell somebody about it. You start thinking about what that's all about. How did that happen? It's incredible. Wow. There's something else that wonder does for us, and it's important that we take time to chase that meditation of who God is. And it's a purpose for why we should wonder and why God showed us wonder in Scripture. And it also forces a response, right? you automatically have some kind of response when you are wowed, right? Some may reject the wowness. You may not see the wowness, or it may change who you are. You have experiences, you see things, you do things, right? It forces some kind of response. And these are all purposes that wonder of God serves, and why we should wonder, and why we should take time to see it and find it and search for it and notice the things that truly wonder us about God and who he is. There's a problem with wonder, though. Because of the way wonder is set up, it must be constrained by doctrine or law. If we take wonder too far, we can easily find ourselves outside of what God wants us to do, thinking things that we should not think, participating in things we should not, just because we're wowed by them, or we're astonished by them, or we think they're good because they touched our emotion or our heart so much. And the Bible also teaches about these things with wonder, that they're false wonders. There's things that can impress us. There's things that can awe us that aren't truth, that aren't from God. Right? As people, we tend to do what we want to do in our own eyes because it feels right. Or maybe we're awed by it or wonder. So wonder alone is not sufficient to get us to God. But wonder is necessary to help us really see God, because you cannot completely define God without wonder. Right? In Romans, we find that our thoughts become futile and darkened if they're not constrained by law or doctrine. God gave us law or doctrine to help limit the concept of wonder. Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So wonder is wonderful. It's nice to be awed, but we need to remember it also has its problems. And once wonder gets beyond the law, it becomes lawlessness, right? And that will not be acceptable to God either. So wonder has its problems. If it's not limited by law, we can end up with error. And this is important because of where wonder works, right? And back to the Greek meaning, it works on our desires, our thoughts, our passions, our appetites, our affections. It's important that those appetites are stirred in the right way. And that's why we should wonder. But it's also something that we need to be cautious with as we wonder, where it is working on us, right? Because if we let that wonder go too far, it's sin that lies at the door, and its desire is for us, okay? But we've got to control it and rule over it. The same concept in James verses 1, 14 through 15. So we need the law and we need doctrine because it has its place. It helps limit the concept of wonder, okay? It helps keep that. I sometimes wonder, some of the religious error that's so prominent in teaching, if this is not where it comes from, right? We get so enamored with faith that faith only becomes a doctrine, right? Because we didn't constrain the wonderful concept of faith or grace and how important it is. But we didn't look at where God laid the limit on that concept. We didn't look at the doctrine of the law on the other side of it. So we took our wonder so far, so amazed by how God could treat us that way, that we didn't limit it by God's law. So we've got to set boundaries on our wonder. And I don't want to diminish the importance of doctrine. I just want us to think about deepening our relationship, because we don't wonder. We're so focused on doctrine that we don't wonder and get connected with God in that way. So we've got to have limits. But the law also has its problems, right? The law can't do everything. It's impossible, right? That's what the old law was all about, right? It didn't make anything perfect. In the end, the law couldn't help us in our flesh, right? It ended up bringing a curse because of our inability to fully submit to it and do the things we were asked to do. It's weak, and it's weak because of the flesh, right? We just don't have the full capacity to fully reach God through law alone or through doctrine alone without the concept of God's wonder. It's a fleshly command, and it can be misused. Wonder can be misused, and so can the law. It can be applied wrongly and not used appropriately. So the law also has its problems and its limitations. It cannot fully get us to God alone, right? And we cannot fully understand God or describe God by law alone. We cannot fully describe God or understand God by law or doctrine alone. The Pharisees fully understood the law, right? They had a really good grasp of the law, right? But they turned it to something that was not, they completely missed Jesus, right? They were so focused on the law. And part of it was because they didn't understand the wonder of Jesus Christ, of God in the flesh. They didn't understand the amazing, wonderful grace that was needed and that Jesus brought as a result of that. And they accused him of blasphemy, right? And of breaking the law, the very law he came to fulfill. And in Luke 5:21, the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Looking at God in the flesh, they lost the ability to wonder, and they missed Jesus Christ. The apostles had a similar problem. They saw all the wonder, they saw all the miracles, but they still missed something, and they were wondering about the wrong thing, right? And they missed his doctrine. They were more interested in who was going to be first in the coming kingdom than seeing that Jesus was headed to the cross to die. They saw the wonder, but they missed the doctrine. Let these words sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. They missed it. Just like the Pharisees missed it, the apostles themselves also missed what Jesus' message was. Are we any different? How do we think about these concepts and these things? Because I believe it's the two together that help really get us to God to understand him. And I don't think either one alone allows our human mind to fully grasp God, to engage him, to get closer to him and have him understand us, much less make me willing to give him my heart. So the two work together to lead us to God. Wonder helps us figure out who God is, who he's all about, his power, his abilities, what he has done and what he can do for us, and more importantly, why it matters. He's so big and I'm so small. He's so holy and I'm so corrupt. Why our relationship with him is so important and why we should respond favorably to him. Because if you understand his awe, you will respond. When we see God and wonder, we start asking questions. We engage our minds, we engage our thoughts, and we seek to understand. It helps us see our position, it helps us see our limitations before him, and it forces a response. And that's why I think it's important for us to wonder. That's why I think it's important for all of us to take time to wonder about God and who he is and who I am. And that's what I want to encourage all of us to start doing more of. God is beyond our ability to understand through laws or doctrine. Right? We can't explain some of the things that he is or claims to be, and without wonder, we will miss him. Without wonder, we will miss him and what he can do and has done for us. This is where we all need to find ourselves when we're in God's presence, is how in the world can this be? And this is what Mary said when the angel told her that she was going to have a son. His name would be called Jesus, and he would be the Savior of the world. Her response was, "Wow, how can this be?" And that's where we all need to find ourselves. When we see God, we understand God, and we're wowed by him, and we take time to wonder. And these are the things that the angel told Mary in that interaction. So I ask you, without wonder, how do we understand? How do you really understand the universe and the cosmos and its expanse without wonder? Our own laws can't define it. You know, there are no limits to it, to what we know. How do you understand angels without wonder? I can't write a law about angels. I can't write a doctrine about angels. I can't write a book and have you understand everything. You've got to engage some degree of your wonder and your awe and your incredibleness about who God is and the things that he has done. How do you explain the Holy Spirit without wonder? How do you understand the Trinity? How do you understand the virgin birth of Jesus? These things are beyond law, they're beyond doctrine, and they are God. And I reason with you that wonder helps us, as the best we can as human beings, engage that part of us of who God is and helps bring us to our knees. How do you explain Jesus Christ is the truth? He is the bread. He is the light. He was the rock. He was the Lion of Judah. You cannot do those things without wonder. It's impossible to do that by doctrine or law alone. This is one of the, you know, charts we sometimes see trying to explain the Trinity. We do the best we can, right? We do the best we can. And still, we cannot get there. It requires some degree of just, how does this work? That is God. We can't explain Him. He's so marvelous. He's so wonderful. He's so amazing. He's so powerful. He's so forgiving. We can't fully explain Him with law or doctrine alone. We need to engage wonder. You cannot put God under a microscope and fully see Him or define Him. You will never find Him. You'll be studying about Him and His laws, but you're not going to see Him, right? So the law and doctrine has its limitations. Reminds me a little bit about Paul in Acts 2 talking about the old law versus the new law. And I think there's some application here, right? Christ is raised from the dead. The wonder of the resurrection versus the deadness of the law in the flesh, because David is in his grave. He's not our king. Our king raised from the dead. He's who we serve. How do you define things like love and grace and mercy by law alone? We can write about them. We can help understand them better by writing guidelines about them that are true and important. But you still got to wonder. How do you explain being in love? How do you explain God's grace truly? Can you do it without wonder? I think it helps us understand the significance of the new law, the significance of Hebrews 8:10 and 10 and 16, which is just a reference to this verse right here, where Jeremiah says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this covenant that I make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive them of their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." We will all be uniquely and individually awed by God's forgiveness of sin. It's not just about laws written on a stone. It's not just talking with Moses so he can talk to me or the people and Aaron, right? I don't no longer have to work through the priest. I can individually and uniquely be astonished and awed and be in the presence of God myself and have the forgiveness that He promises us. So what are some of the relationship here, and how might this concept work? The Greek word for heart is very similar, has some concepts associated with the Greek word for wonder. It's our desire maker. It makes us who we are. It's our desire producer. It's the center and seat of spiritual life, the fountain and seat of passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, and endeavors. This is where the wonder happens. This is where the wonder happens. It's in your heart. God's law is in your heart. And I think it's worth thinking about. How can we fully understand God if we don't wonder about His amazing characteristics with our heart? So His law is written on our heart and it's written on our mind. The Greek word for mind is the faculties of perceiving and understanding and those of feeling, judging, and determining. This is where the wonder is processed, right? Wonder has to be processed to be appropriately utilized, right? We talked about how it can lead us astray potentially. So it's in our heart and in our mind. And then we got to think about it. We got to mull it over and meditate. The Greek for think is the idea. It's kind of difficult to translate into English because it combines some visceral, some feeling, some emotion, and also the actual intellectual cognitive aspects of thinking. It's how the two are joined together. How wonder and law are joined together. to help get us closer to God by being written on our heart and in our mind if we choose to be awed by the things God has done for us. If we do enough of this, it will help us understand who we are. You'll have no choice but to see who God is and what He can do, and hopefully help us understand how we should be acting and behaving, and consequently bringing us into deeper relationship with Him. Wonder captures our emotions with astonishment, with its desires and passions, and causes us to think and reason and then respond secondary to the awe we have for who God is. And appropriately applied and understands, it should bring us to our knees in obedience. If we really are capable of understanding who God is, we'll have no choice but to lay prostrate in front of Him. The importance of wonder will help you get there. We should be wondered. We should be wowed. We should be astonished right into God's will because of what He's done, the wonderful things of who He is, and we should be looking and trying to find Him in these ways to help us get close to Him. So what's the appeal of wonder? Well, it's very hard to understand Scripture without it, right? Grace, mercy, the Trinity, angels. Talk about other doctrine. Talk about the book of Revelations. Talk about the book of Daniel, right? Wonder. How can we fully even talk about Scripture without wonder, right? You can't hardly do it. It will deepen our relationship with God and our understanding of God. Helps you know who you are, that He created you, that He picked up dust and blew breath into you. Just that alone is wow. The power that He has, that He spoke the very existence of this earth into being. That great vast universe that the scientists are studying was the Big Bang, right? My theory is, you know what the Big Bang is? When God said, let there be light. Yeah, there was a Big Bang, all right.
Amen.
Right? It's what they're studying. It lets you know who God is. What He has done, what He can do, and what He's capable of. And helping you understand your sin and your smallness and your need for Him. So take time to wonder. I think it'll do us all some good. Being a Christian and being pleasing to God is an act of mind, responding to His law and His will in response to the wonder produced by His incredible qualities. Being a Christian and pleasing God is an act of mind, responding to His law and will in response to the wonder produced by His incredible qualities. How can this be? Do you think God wonders? Well, God did wonder. Isaiah 59, verses 15 and 16. The Lord saw it. He's talking about the transgressions and the iniquities of His people. The Lord saw the transgression and the iniquities of His people, and it displeased Him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and He wondered. That there was no intercessor. Therefore, His own arm brought salvation for Him, and His own righteousness sustained Him. God wondered too. What caused His wonder was our transgression and how He might fix it, how He might take care of it. The Hebrew word for wonder is a little bit different than the Greek word, and it is extraordinary, hard to understand, a marvelous thing. How do we understand God's taking care of our sin? He wondered to do that, and His solution was obviously to send Jesus Christ. A wonderful thing, a marvelous thing. And how God has dealt with us truly is a wonder. So He wondered about our sin, our separation, our need, His care, His children, the people that He wanted to serve Him and do right by Him and care for Him, and follow the rules and laws He had put for our own good. But there was nobody that could take care of the problem. So He wondered. And He responded by sending His only Son, the only one who could help. How can this be? Do you wonder? Do you wonder about God's power, about His majesty, about His holiness, His eternal being, the creation, His consistency, The fact that we wake up every day and the sun rises in the same place, the earth spins at a certain angle and a certain amount of rotation so that we can have life here on earth. The organization, his history, what he's done for his people, all the things he's done to rescue his people in times past. And more importantly, what he's done for you. Are you astonished? Are you individually struck? Does your wonder move your passions and your desires and your affections for him? Does it affect your appetites for him? And more importantly, does it change your purpose and your endeavor to serve him? How can this be? Do you perceive and understand who you are, what your condition is before him, who he is, and what he can do and has done for you? If you do not, you will never find him. You won't even get a glimpse of who he is. He'll be all around you and you will miss him. Much less will you be obedient to his will. This is what God did for us when he wandered for us. And it was to send Jesus, his only son, to take care of our sins so that we might have access to his mercy and his grace. As we close this evening, I'd like to ask you, what is your response to wonder? And what will be your response to wonder? Will you choose to wonder and deepen your relationship with God based on who he is and based on the discovery and be individually struck and awed by him? What will my response be to wonder? And if you're not a Christian, will you do the things he's asked you to do because of who you are, because of who he is, because of his great power and might, and because of his wonder? Acts 22:16 says, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." You find yourself in a situation where you've not made yourself availability to one of the wonderful, awesome things God has done for us. This is the guidelines which he lays down. This is his doctrine, which is to be baptized to wash away our sins. Romans 6 says we're buried with him in the likeness of his death and raised to life and live in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans 6 goes on to talk about how we can be set free from sin, set free from lawlessness, bearing fruit to holiness and eternal life, and presenting ourselves as slaves of obedience, leading to righteousness, and free from the law and consequences, and now under grace. Thank you so very much for listening to me tonight. Hopefully we've said some things that will be helpful to you. And I know my presentation has not been fantastic, but I'll continue to work on those things. And once again, I want to say thank you to your kind attention to all the people here who are helpful to me and have been always. If we can help you tonight, if you've been awed by God and you need to respond by being baptized into Christ and becoming one of his children, or if you've wandered away and you need to wander back because you realize where you are in his presence, we ask that you come while we stand and while we sing.